And we're back with What's Ailing America, part two. We have Anita from Austin on the line. You were talking about this documentary, Behold the Pale Horse. So you're saying it's going to be a trilogy, is that correct? And you're going to mention other things later?
That's right.
Okay. And does Sherry Tenpenny, because I've never heard her say anything about vaccines being bioweapons, does she talk about that in this documentary, or is she still just talking about the CDC and what they admit?
You know, it's been a while since we interviewed her, and I was, I don't even remember exactly what's in the interview. We interviewed several people on that subject. So I understand that. I understand it as a genocide, a part of the genocide plan in Agenda 21, as vaccines being used to reduce the population, and that's not very palatable to the average American, but we understand it as producers of this film, and we will be exposing it as such.
Okay, but see, the problem is the people who don't find the truth palatable aren't going to do a darn thing anyways. So
well,
the
I know,
way that
I know that's true.
Right, the way that I look at things, I tell the whole truth. I don't feed pablum to anybody. If you can't handle the truth, then you're not somebody that I'm even looking to waste my time with. Because if you check out the top of my drcarly.com site, I have there posted the legal definition of weapons of mass destruction. Mm-hmm. And when you read that, you'll realize it includes vaccines. So these are biological weapons, and I think it's really important for people to face that, because as I said at the top of the show, between last week's show and this week's show, and I'm not going to have time to get into all this stuff, but I will be putting this in my this week newsletter, are the documents that prove that they're committing genocide, that these are weapons of mass destruction, that they're experimenting with vaccines to actually find a way for our bodies to have the immune system totally disabled and then switching it on to where it actually causes a cytokine storm and kills us. There's so much proof of all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
And in my opinion, I don't know if you would agree with this, but the vaccine issue is so important because that is some place where we can say no. You know, as far as chemtrails and, you know, the poisoning in the water, and there's so many other things that they're doing. But the vaccines are a personal issue. They're coming directly after you with a needle, and you can say no. And I think if people started there and just got to see how that feels, no, I'm not going to do it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an amazing thing.
Our film ends with Colonel Travis at the Alamo, and he's drawing the line in the sand. It's a historical reenactment. It's very well done. And at the very end, he says, no is a powerful concept. And that's it. That is the bottom line. But we, in order to get to that, for a great majority of the people, they have to be educated. And we have to start somewhere. And this is our effort. Everybody has their own area that they're interested in, and that's something else that's in the film.
Right.
Deborah Medina talks about liberty, and you know, it's so overwhelming here when you find out all these issues. You're thinking, well, what can I do? What can I do? And her thing was, start where your interests lie. If you're interested in health issues, work in that area. If you're interested in education, homeschooling, food issues, you know, your garden, your whatever, start there, because one person can't tackle everything. But you know,
right,
like yourself, you've got the health and medical issues that are of primary concern to you, and that's your expertise. So obviously that's what you need to be exposing.
Well, I agree with you, but let me also say, if you don't have your health, your brain doesn't work. But thank you so much for calling. We're going to a break. We'll bring on Bill after the break. Keep up the good work, Anita. Right back. And we're back with What's Ailing America, and I just want to mention that Anita had mentioned this documentary, Behold a Pale Horse, America's Last Chance, starring country music legend Charlie Daniels. The website you can go to check this out is www.beholdapalehorse.tv. So check it out. There are some omissions, in my opinion, such as who's behind it all. However, she said that there's going to be some other documentaries, a trilogy. We'll see where they go. Because, like I said, in terms of vaccines, if people don't go to the bioweapon level, in my opinion, you know, half a truth is a whole lie. And basically, if you don't tell people the way it really is, then what are you actually accomplishing? You know, you say a little bit of here and a little bit of there. As I always talk about the tree of evil, there's lots of branches, leaves, cherries, whatever. Okay, we have to go for the root because we're running out of time. But in terms of that word conspiracy, the way that you turn that around is you say, yes, there is a conspiracy. It's a conspiracy reality. It's not a theory. I approve of everything I say. As a rule, that pretty much shuts people down in terms of that crap. Okay, Bill from Idaho, I hope you're still there, Bill.
Yes, ma'am, I am. Thank you. It's an honor and a bittersweet pleasure. I just wanted to thank all the ladies that have called in. Obviously, the last time we went through this, it was the ladies that carried the day, when the moral and ethical conscience of not only this country, family, and home actually comes to fore. These war criminals are indeed big trouble. I'd only point out and draw your attention, as I did last week, that the documentation that you already had, but I'd mention Levitt.com. It was the old Zola Levitt letter. Now, people go back and look at the archives and the mind-washing that has occurred since his death. I don't believe the good man to have had the intent of that, but it is obviously turned into a control mechanism within the American church of this country. As Pastor Baldwin mentions, if a free man and woman must cede certain limited rights and freedoms to society in general, i.e. government, render unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, it is also necessary that they put a watch and check upon government so that not to allow it to usurp those liberties and rights that have not been ceded. And by the mechanism of deception, we do war by virtue of deception, it is very evident that the war criminals of the world are quickly going to be joining the other hazards in the dustbin of society. I'm afraid that with you ladies involved, way too many people know, considering the Intel Hub and Agent X, within their own country and the tragedy that it brings and portends for certainly Mother Israel, but certainly for Jerusalem. Agent X, ex-CIA, Mossad, whatever flavor of the day, ends up dead within their own custody chain. Just gives one pause and certainly should instruct all military within that industrial complex to consider that they eat their own. Mm-hmm. Are you familiar with that story, Dr. Carley?
No.
Yeah, Jerusalem Press, Melman, Australian Mossad agent, all of a sudden reported as dead. And a very dark, sad moment for all involved. If, as with the police officer who was trying to report what he believed to be evil within a paramilitary organization, although trained by Mossad, post police officer standard training, all trained by Mossad, ultimately, through the junior colleges of this country, Blackwater backup, that ultimately all of them become at risk, even more so, as difficult to the job as they've signed on to, by virtue of the fact that quote-unquote powers to be can off their own people with impunity and not even be questioned.
which they do all the time whenever they don't want them to come home and flap their lips. Pat Tillman is a perfect example of that. But, you know, you kind of, like, shocked me when you said Mother Israel. What do you mean when you say Mother Israel?
Well, if we look genealogically, entire history that we've been participants in, ultimately, Israel is part of that genealogy. Everybody shares that bloodline one way or the other, no matter how stained and troubled that history, they ultimately inherit the whirlwind as well as certainly ourselves as being unobservant, uninvolved, unwary, and uncaring, certainly, for our own, if not second and third world countries.
Okay, well, I don't want to go down the religion road right now, but as far as I'm concerned, these are the psychopaths destroying the world. And people often bring up this free will thing to me.
Oh, boy.
And in my opinion, if people are being vaccinated, psychotropically drugged, fluoridated, aspartame, the list is endless, there is no such thing as free will. Because, you know, for them to be duped, you know, it's like blaming the duped person. You know, what about the person that duped them to cause them to have such damage to their brain they can't even think?
Well, these neo-Nazi war criminals obviously are very, very much into blaming the victim. There's no doubt about it. But if I could draw everybody's attention, it's Pastor Chuck Baldwin's four-part message series, The Meaning of Romans 13, and it's HTTP for Chuck Baldwin, chuckbaldwinlive.com/home.
All right. Enough about Chuck Baldwin. Wait a minute. Chuck Baldwin is the pastor that ran for president in the Constitution Party a few years ago, right?
I believe so, ma'am.
Right. And there was a Constitutional Party convention for his nomination in Kansas City, Missouri, which I paid for and went to myself because, as it turns out, I was testifying in court in regards to vaccine damage to a child in that same town, and it just worked out. I could delay my stay, blah, blah, blah. I personally spoke to Chuck Baldwin and tried to get him to realize that the one issue that could really wake up the people and get them on board with the Constitution Party is the forced inoculations with disease, especially because that's an issue of constitutional right, of freedom, blah, blah, blah. And he wouldn't even consider it. So I lost all respect for Chuck Baldwin at that time.
The tragedy being that the enemy is all too pervasive and invested in all of the institutional effort.
No, I don't buy excuses like that. I'm sorry. But I have some other callers calling.
It was great listening with you, Dr. Carlo, and bless you. We'll be praying. Take care.
Thank you, Bill. Okay, great. Fred from California, are you there?
I'm here. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Earlier in your program, you mentioned about Jesse Ventura.
Yes.
And it brought up a question that I've always had in my mind is, I've been listening to a lot of talk shows, such as yours, concerning matters that relate and interrelate. Tell me, how does one detect a false talk show prophet, so to say? You know, I mean, is the 1% out there with imitation talk shows to attracting bees to honey in order to find out who's calling? Or am I too paranoid?
No. I don't think it's to find out who's calling. I think it's to get people to look over there. Or, you know, like in my opinion, Alex Jones, he gives nothing but fear. No solutions. If you listen to Alex Jones every day, you're going to be hiding under your bed shivering, okay?
Well, that was the other person that it's odd that you mentioned him because I always think of him as a double agent. In a way, so to speak. He doesn't offer a solution.
Well,
and he will. He'll keep you awake all night.
Right. So I don't claim to have all the answers. I have been duped many times myself.
Right.
And I could write a whole book just on that. I always say I have my PhD in minionology. I've had military intelligence infiltrate my life, all kinds of things. And all I can say is what I've learned over the years is that you have to learn to trust your intuition, your inner voice, your gut, whatever you want to call it.
Okay.
If something sounds wrong, it probably is.
Okay?
And it's one thing, like I've even had some guests on the show, and after I had them on the show, I'm like, I don't think so. You know, and basically, as far as I was concerned, they took off their mask on the show. Now, I asked them to be on the show, so I'm not going to humiliate them, but just in terms of my own personal dealings with others in the quote-unquote movement, whatever you want to call it, that's how I've learned, is to
just
trust
a,
my
a
intuition.
Quick note, if I might say,
Hold on. We're going to a break. Stay there, Fred. We'll be right back. And we're back with What's Ailing America, and we have Fred on the line from California, and you were talking about how does one separate the wheat from the chaff, basically.
Yeah, there you go. Also, I wanted to mention, too, I read an awful lot to get away from my pain, from my disability, and one book that I kept putting off because it was so thick, you know, and the font was like -5, was called The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich, and I picked it up to learn what was going on with Germany both before, during, and after the war. And too much, I was totally blown out by the fact that I was reading about our own country, and I couldn't put the book down. And it was it's such a metaphor, what's going on right now. The times are different, but, you know, it was just very shocking to read that book, and it has a lot of application to what's going on today. So I want to thank you for taking my call. You're brave.
Okay, well, let me just say, and not to mention the fact that, you know, Hitler actually, you know, was a good guy. And Deanna Spingola does a lot of shows about that. But I just want to say again in regards to separating the wheat from the chaff, you must do this, people. And I always tell people, don't believe me either. Check things out for yourself. There are so many disinformers out there, it's mind-boggling. And in many areas, they're oftentimes doing almost more harm than the people behind it all, because they're getting people to look over there or believe, you know, whatever they're trying to get them to believe, that it's too late. Basically, to me, that's Alex Jones's message. This is what they're doing. There's nothing you can do. Get ready for those coffins, because there's one with your name on it. Okay.
It's very important also, if I might add, is not to fall into what I call a reader repeater. You must keep an open mind and accept that, you know, your opinions will change as you study, but keep an open mind and don't come to pre-conclusions. Just keep learning.
Okay. Wait a minute.
Thank you very much.
Wait a minute. I have to underline that, put it in a bold font. That is so important what you're saying, because during the awakening process, whatever you want to call it, we're all going to run into something where we have such a strong connection. You know, for me, it was my profession. It can be religion. It can be whatever it can be. And there may be some disinfo that you've been fed and you swallowed it hook, line, and sinker. If you don't have the courage to say, you know what, let me check this out, wherever it may lead, I must check it out. If you don't do that, then you're never going to reach the truth, because the deeper you get into this black hole of evil, the harder it is to face what they have done. The manipulations are legion.
It's incredible out there. It really is. And when I started reading, I started reading nonfiction when the trade towers fell, and I was bedridden at the time, and I was reading novels to get away from my pain. And when they dropped, I said, I'm switching to nonfiction. But little did I know, the hundreds of books that I've read on history, where it would take me to now, today, and to be on here talking with you. And so I can't do too much. I still read, and I'm very active on talk shows. And
well, that's great. Let me just, if you don't mind telling us, what is your disability? What happened to you?
Well, I was a fireman, and I got severely hurt trying to save a woman that ran into a burning house down in San Jose. This was back in 87, and she, along with three other people, died in this house fire. I ended up with, right now, 5 back fusions, a lot of concrete and rebar in my back, and I'm in constant pain all the time, and enough that, you know, sometimes I black out. But I read to get away because I hate the narcotics and stuff that they give me. And even as I talk to you now, you know, I'm in quite a bit of pain. But I can't believe what I've learned and where it's taken me. And I always question, I would say for everybody out there that's on this process, is don't come to conclusions. Don't put it in a right or wrong. You know, just keep an open mind and question everything you read. I even listen to the opposition a lot of times because I need their perspective and where they're coming from, you know. Don't
right.
read things that you want to hear, you agree with. That's that. You don't want to fall into that. You want to listen to both sides. So it's very important for talk shows. And you're a patriot. And all talk shows that have had this format, as, you know, when you open up that window and you lean out and you yell, I can't take it any longer, and your voice only carries just a block away. But, you know, I'm listening to you on Wi-Fi, and all your listeners out there need to know that because of that, you're not limited by the distance that you're transmitting on an antenna. You're heard all around the world. You're heard in Africa, in the Middle East, everywhere. And those people are learning about how we feel in this country. And
well, I just have to add something because you just gave me the chills when you said that. Not only do I know that's true because I get emails and Skypes from these people, but also there was a point that I realized, and I can't let the music interrupt. So can you stand for another minute, Fred? And Kevin?
Absolutely.
Okay, we'll be right back, folks. This is a great conversation. And we're back with What's Ailing America. We're having a very interesting discussion with Fred from California, and I have to say, I love talking to the RBN listeners. In my opinion, they are probably the most knowledgeable listeners of any internet radio out there and know what's going on. And you often add so much to the conversation. Now, Fred was talking about, you know, the frequencies, and I realized some time ago that it's actually the frequencies of us talking about these things. It's not even just the transmission to some internet radio station in Dubai or whatever the case may be. It's actual frequencies going into the ionosphere, the atmosphere, whatever you want to call it, into the cosmos. And this is having an effect as well. I know that to be a fact. Just from reading the book, The 100th Monkey, I don't know if you're familiar with that, but basically the premise of that book is that, you know, monkeys learned that by washing off their coconuts, you know, it was much more pleasurable to eat the coconuts because they're not all sandy and blah, blah, blah. And actually, after some monkeys learned how to do that, monkeys on another island learned how to do that as well. And that was the premise, that basically it's almost like a psychic-type transmission from one member of a species to another. And in this case, it resulted in the others learning how to wash their coconuts. Obviously, they didn't have internet. But there's something like that happening as well. I feel that very strongly. And all of these things together are going to basically shine a light on the dark energy that's out there in the universe. I mean, NASA has recorded it. So go ahead, Fred.
Let me leave you with this. I started reading a lot of history, and I had a big puzzle board with all the puzzle pieces all mixed up. And eventually I got onto oil, and that started putting the puzzle pieces sort of into place a little bit. And then back in 2008, I got onto studying currencies. And ironically enough, I was being shuttled to my doctor's appointments through a shuttle service because I can't drive. And the shuttle driver turned to me, and he said, geez, I'd never seen anyone read that book before. And it was The Creature from Jekyll Island. But to make the long thing short, I asked him eventually this question. Apparently what had happened, he had just come back from Russia. He pulled a six-year stint working for the central bank and the Russian Treasury for 6 years. He knew fluent Russian. He's American and had a lot of degrees and stuff. And I asked him this one question: what's the one thing, the most compelling thing you learned while you were over there? And he looked at me and he said, get out of the dollar and get into gold and silver, because it's going to crash. So just I'll leave that with you. He's a very smart individual. I've known him for a long time. So anyway, I want to let some other people come on. You've been really great, and you're a patriot. And the fact that we've got these stations where people can voice and get together and share opinions today is so vitally important. It really yes. is. So
and,
thank
and
you again.
Fred, wait, I have to say one other thing. As I asked Fred, well, what happened to you? And he very calmly states how he tried to save this woman from a burning house. I'm just here to say, Fred, I worked as an ER attending for many years, and I saw so many firefighters. If you want to know, in my opinion, who the true heroes are, it is the firefighters. I had so many firefighters come in that were, you know, had second-degree burns, and they're basically just stick some bandages on me. I got to go back. The guys need me. Stuff like that. I've seen that so many times, and I just really want to say I have no respect for the military. In my opinion, if you want to talk about public service, that's when you're talking about firemen. So I just wanted to say that.
Well, I'd like to share that with nurses as well. I was in Vietnam in 68 up in the Cambodian border, and, you know, I got medevaced many times, and I want to take my hat off to the nurses that served over there. You don't hear much about that over there, but...
Right. And let me point out, as I just said, what I said about the military. Back in those days, you didn't have a chance. There was something called the draft.
Yeah, okay? I got drafted.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It's not like you had a choice. Okay, today it's a different situation. But all I can say is that I'm sorry to hear you're in so much pain. Unfortunately, once they start putting spikes and rods and stuff in your spine, that's usually what happens. But if you can find a good thing, and, you know, obviously this is not a good thing, but the only thing that's amazing to me is that now you have an opportunity to learn about all these things.
Well, that's just it for a while there. Cause, I mean, I was down to 130 pounds. I was in bed for 10 years, and I thought, gosh, I'm wasting all my time. And then maybe a couple of years ago, I started thinking, wait a moment. I've got all this time that most people do not have, and that is to read and educate myself. Because most everybody else is trying to keep their nose above water and support their family and keep their jobs and make a go out of it. But being disabled, it enabled me to read and study and listen to talk shows. And so my outlet is to become an activist. But the other thing I have to say, too, is I should not have been here talking to you. The fact that I made it out of Vietnam, every day I'm grateful for what I've got. It changed my life completely. And I just want to leave you with that. So I now know that maybe there was a reason why I'm in this position now. But, you know, conspiracy theorists was born out of the Warren Commission Committee because they knew that they had to create a firewall for that report they put out because it was very inaccurate. So just that's what I learned about that. So when I get called a conspiracy theorist, and I say, no, I'm a realist theorist. And it empowers you. And I've changed my finances and everything else accordingly. And I go to sleep when I can feeling I've got a grip on things. And we'll just see how things happen. And, you know, you can't take this on an individual level, but you can spread the knowledge around, and then it just takes one small incident to get the herd to stampede, and that will happen eventually. But it's just empowering through listening to talk shows and reading and educate yourself, and you feel better, you know,
and
that's what it's all about. But I want to thank you because you are a patriot, and every talk show host that's on there and every network like yourself that's doing this will be looked upon, I think, in the future as the heroes, really.
I'm just waiting for the party. That's all I can say. Yeah. I don't care about getting a hero award or anything like that.
No,
but I
want to
thank you. I want to thank you so much for calling in. And who knows, one day maybe you'll be having your own radio show yourself.
Well, you know something? I discovered your channel about 2 weeks ago after reading a book called The Own It All, including you. And up to that point, I've been very active on a lot of stations, and my frustration is that if I pick up the subject of what's a debt-based currency and what's that green thing in your wallet, nobody wants to talk about it. And I was seriously thinking about starting my own talk show. It is funny that you mentioned this. And then I read about your network and started listening, and I've been listening on your station all the time. So, because you offer a lot of good detail and a lot of good things. Piers Morgan was interviewed by Alex Jones, I guess, 2 weeks ago. And I sat there, I was so frustrated because there are so many other people out there, I think, that could deliver a good debate without having to shout them down, you know? But anyway, I want to thank you for spending this much time with me because you've got other callers out there, and thanks again for all your time and your effort.
Well, you gave a lot of good information, and just picture what I said about the truth. You see, this is a battle of truth versus lies, basically. And the truth is out there, and it's spreading. It's shining a light on the darkness. And
I was so happy to see the Occupy movement start. I was getting very down because I didn't see anything happening out there. And then when the Occupy movement started and you had the 99 and 1, well, that's a debt-based currency. It ends with 1% owning it and 99% not having it. But, the truth is getting out, and I'm seeing more and more of it. And
So
things will happen. It's just that we have to go through a rough period to get to the other side.
Exactly.
And thank you very much.
Okay, thank you very much, Fred. Okay, Kevin from Connecticut, are you there, Kevin?
Yes, truth versus lies, that's right, that's absolutely right. I wanted to know if you could give me your perspective, your position, and any other callers, feel free to chime in, especially like people like Chris from Las Vegas, who often calls your station. And, it's a matter of a judge ordering a competency test, and a person refusing that competency test, and then a judge ordering the person to be institutionalized in lieu of agreeing to a competency test. And then while there, we just happen to observe this, and we just happen to observe this, and then asking for a conservatorship. I mean, it's a whole string of events. And I know you've talked about exemptions from vaccines, specifically the New York sincerity test for religious exemptions for the vaccines. And I was wondering if that could be brought in to play in matters like these. I'll just go ahead and tell me what your position is.
I wish I could say that the answer is yes, that an exemption-type protocol could be done to stop this. But unfortunately, you see, this is why psychiatry is so evil and why they have, basically become minions for the court. If a court wants to steal everything you have, they will deem you incompetent. And appoint a guardian for you. I did a show with Marty Oakley about this a few weeks ago. They have these new hospitalists that takes over control of your medical situation. You have absolutely no right to make any decisions about your medical care, period. And so this is what they've created in order to have this insane situation, because guess what? How could you ask for an exemption for a mental exam if the judge is saying you're not competent? How can you be competent to make that decision?
Exactly. You see,
that's where the time bomb lives. And so I don't know what else to say than, you know, after going through 7 years and seven courts and going through psychiatric evals and all this other crap, what I would tell people is, if there's any way that you can possibly avoid even going into court to begin with, for any reason, that's what I would do if I was you. Once you're in there, there's so many people that are trying to find different ways and different verbiage and whatever to keep you out of the trap.
Right.
But, you know, it's very difficult.
Yes, and you're absolutely right on those grounds. And when you talk about someone else to represent you, oftentimes the worst person to represent you is a lawyer, because they're all part of the conspiracy or co-conspiracy.
Oh, totally. Wait, let me just comment on that, because not only does whatever happened to you as a part of your legal abuse system happen to you, but, you know, I have never heard of an attorney, and I'm very serious, never heard of an attorney who actually did the right thing, who, you know, because they can betray you in so many ways. And if the judge comes out in the back room and says, we're not going to proceed with this case, all the attorney has to do is be late in one of his filings, or, you know, there's so many ways that they can basically take your money and then stab you in the back.
Oh, absolutely.
And so, yeah. Yeah,
absolutely. And competency, being competent of the law, as I understand it, and I've been told, when you hire an attorney, you are professing to the world that you are not competent of understanding the law. And I'm sure people like Chris from Las Vegas and some other constitutionalists would agree that, they have proven time and time again that they are incompetent, that these lawyers and judges and barristers are incompetent of the law. And going back to what you said previously, which you're absolutely correct on, is the law is the truth, and the truth is the law. And the metaphysical world and whatnot and everything. And go right ahead.
Yeah, they get all these legal loopholes in there. I mean, yes, you have the law, but then we have the legality of the whole system, all the statutes that they invent. I actually was in a Brooklyn appellate court once, and there were three judges on this panel, and one of the judges actually said, we have law on both sides, we can do whatever we want.
Huh.
And that was a moment for me. You know, I've had a few what I call Twilight Zone moments. That was one of them.
Right.
But the bottom line is, they can invent anything they want. One of their favorite techniques is to basically refuse to allow evidence into the record. Excuse me?
Sure.
I mean, that's one of the main things they do. Let the jury see all of it. Oh, that's right. Well, we're having fewer and fewer courts in which we even have a jury.
Divorces,
go ahead.
Well, no, you're absolutely right, and there's supposed to be a strict procedure to where if you certify it and bring it to the clerk and she gives you a receipt, that they can claim anything they want, but they actually see it and all of these different things. But, you know, going back to what I said before about the truth is the law, you know, the truth being our Savior, and he came in the name of the truth, and he talked about the father of lies, you know, and that's what basically we're dealing with, and I don't see any reason why a man can't walk into court and invoke the name of the Most High and put them all to shame.
Well, I'm sure there's some people that have done that. I don't know what the result was, but you see right there they could say this person needs a psychiatric evaluation.
Right. Well,
they're coming into court without an attorney, and they think God's going to help them.
Well, Rod Class, who's come on with Mr. Stadmiller, he's talked about it, about how, a precedent case showing that the bar hasn't been recognized by the Congress or whatnot, or legislature to have a monopoly, and you know, in America. And also, speaking of, you're looking for an example, people have gone into court. There's been a couple examples of this where they have pointed to each and every person in there, from the bailiff to the judge to the prosecutor, saying that they did not recognize the judge, you do not recognize the prosecutor, you do not recognize the bailiff, you do not recognize the clerk, the courtroom reporter, and simply walked
out. And then
out.
They bring you for your psych eval. I'm sorry, we're out of time. Thank you so much for calling. Chris from Las Vegas is waiting. We'll bring him on after this message. And we're back with What's Ailing America, our last segment, and we have Chris from Las Vegas on the line. I guess your ears must have been ringing when Kevin from Connecticut called in. We only have a few more minutes, so go ahead and comment on whatever you'd like in regards to what we were talking about.
Well, Dr. Carley, thank you so much for having me this morning and for what you contribute to the open airwaves of communication of truth. And Kevin is right on the money with Rod Class's information. And I was reading over some of his information. It is from the Congressional House record from the 1920s through 1927. Pursuant to H.R. 10,000. And they talk about the Little Bill, named after Colonel Edward Campbell Little, the congressman from Kansas. And I had been reading this for several days and trying to discover what is wrong and how it went wrong so that we may have some insight to try to make some changes. And it appears that they absolutely changed the form of law by the scheme called codification or codifying, which means they claim it's to harmonize, but it has several other meanings in Black's Law, which means to reform, to obliterate, to change completely, or to dispense with one form and to replace it with another form. And that's what happened. This satanic form of church court law, the Talmudic legal sleaze of the Pharisees, the Pharisaic law of the sea, is the scheme whereby we are all presumed to be corporations or dead fictitious corporate entities, and therefore they have a right and obligation to run roughshod over the king's people in any way they see fit, to destroy them completely in a form of legal war, the war of the sea, the law of the sea, where they have all the agents of the king, all the officers of the court, the judge, the pro se executioner, your attorney, the secretary, the clerk of the court, the bailiff, the interpreter, are all a military force posed against we the people, who they drag into their nets of deceit to destroy and to commit war against and to take all their possessions, including their possession of their biological personage, by any means possible.
Okay, so we're almost out of time, Chris. So you're saying possibly the answer lies into this corrupt occurrence where they codified everything, because obviously all the agencies have done that.
It permanently changed the general substantial laws of America forever. And that's what the titles 1 through 50 of the United States Code are, is a reformation of the code along with the UCC, the Universal Communist Canaanite Code for the Corporation.
And let me just say that Title 50, Chapter 32, Section 1520 of U.S. Code, Title 50, as I said, actually says that the Department of Defense can basically work with the Department of Homeland Security / Health in order to experiment on people with vaccination.
So in the United States Code.
Title?
I was going to give it to you here, but we're running out of time.
Yeah, we're out of time. Okay.
Thank you so much, Dr. Carley.
Thank you for calling in, Chris. And folks, you know, there's a lot of people working on a lot of parts of this problem. Just do whatever you're led to do, but make a difference. Okay, we'll be back next week. Bye-bye.
now.